The Five Secrets of a Phenomenal Business, Chapter 5, Part 2.
Once you build a solid relationship with referral sources and you're giving them the top three things that they cherish, which is support, food, and money, you can take it to the next level with these advanced strategies. Number one, cook breakfast or lunch. We have a system in place where we go to a referral source's office or store and we cook bacon and eggs or fajitas for those referral sources. One of my coaching clients even built a barbecue trailer where they go and do fajitas and barbecue for their referral sources. Second, the free lunch program. Hold a referral appreciation luncheon at a top restaurant. Invite past, existing, and potential referral sources to thank them for their support. We give out prizes, do a short talk, and we even record video testimonials from the referral sources that we can use in our marketing. Third is what I call group marketing. The power of event marketing is that you're getting groups of referral sources together, which saves you a ton of time and also positions you as the expert. Events create memorable experiences as well. It creates a sense of community. Set up a Q&A or an educational talk for your referral sources. Hold educational events. Even get them approved for continuing education credits or do some webinars. This positions you as the expert. Even if you bring in a speaker, you're the one who's making that experience possible. Number four, golf tournaments and charity events. Get involved in events that your referral sources are involved in. Serve and support them and hopefully get the microphone. The next advanced strategy is to do a joint mailer with your referral source. This can be done by email too. Your referral sources send your phenomenal information to their clients to add value to them. This generates even more referrals as you are targeting a niche audience that has a relationship with that referral source. As you can see, there are many referral marketing strategies you can use, and my experience is that referral marketing is the key to creating record sales and profits, serving the niche clients that you want to serve. Let me ask you a question. Does your business rely on repeat business? Is your primary referral source your past or existing customers? If so, you're probably committing the biggest marketing mistake of all, other than doing absolutely nothing. The biggest marketing mistake of all is not marketing to your past customers. Statistics reveal that it costs 500% more to gain a new client than it does to keep an existing one. Did you know that also without consistent marketing that many of your clients will forget about you and eventually end up using someone else? It's a hard fact to swallow, but it's true. A few years ago, I participated in a home show with some service industry associates. After surveying a good portion of the attending homeowners, we discovered that they couldn't remember the name of the service company they had recently used, even though they were thrilled with the work. Even when the service had been just 2 weeks prior, the company did a good job, but they'll never be in that customer's home again unless they correct this huge mistake. A multi-industry study by the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania revealed that companies who increased their customer retention rate by a mere 5 to 11 percentage points actually increased their profits by an astounding 25 to 70% depending on the industry. It's my belief and experience that you could double your business in the next 12 months or less without adding a single customer. In 1999, I proved the theory in my service company by simply increasing my mailing frequency from quarterly to monthly. This was back before we had a lot of email newsletters and things like this. We do so many other things now. But 8 additional months of mailing back then to past clients over a 1-year period cost about $16,000 in printing and postage, but the return was over $200,000 in trackable additional business. So the question is, are you tracking your repeat business? Are you tracking your referrals? Are you tracking the returns on your advertising dollars? If you aren't, I can guarantee you, you're leaving money on the table. We'll talk about that more in Phenomenal Administration Systems. Let me share a sad story with you. My wife and I used to go to one of the finest restaurants in the Houston area. I worked there when I first started my business. We were engaged there and celebrated many anniversaries at this restaurant. The owners of the restaurant died, and two sisters who worked there took over the restaurant. They weren't very good marketers, and business became very slow. Every time we saw them, they complained about how bad business was. My wife and I made suggestions, but they just didn't seem very interested in the suggestions that we made. We knew they weren't doing many of the basic things that they should be doing to get business. And one night, as we were talking with one of the sisters, she was labeling these postcards, really nice postcards. I remember them from when I worked there before. And gesturing toward the postcard, I said, "Well, how well do those postcards pull?" She goes, "Oh, phenomenal. Every time we send them out, we get tons of business," she said. "People come in and buy dinner and wine, and sometimes they even bring friends with them." And by the way, this was the first positive thing I'd heard this lady say in 3 years. So I had to ask, "So how often do you send those postcards out?" "Oh, about once a year," she said. Yeah, I was shocked too. Why do you think she didn't send them out more often? "Because it costs so much," she said. And here's the sad part of this story. After being one of the top restaurants in Houston, Texas for over 25 years, a quarter of a century, that restaurant closed its doors. Out of business. Why? Bad food? Nope. Poor service? Nope. Just a lack of marketing sense. Very, very sad. Most small business owners don't understand the value of marketing to past clients. All they see is the cost. Then they want to go on the cheap and just email them or reach them by social media. Big mistake. A printed newsletter, a postcard, or a greeting card has much more staying power than an email that can be overlooked or easily deleted. Just yesterday, I had one of my coaching clients tell me that sometimes the emails that we send to her don't get read, but when I send a newsletter, she places it on the corner of her desk until it does get read. To further irritate the problem, most small business owners don't know how to track their repeat business. Tracking repeat business is completely different from tracking returns on paid advertising. With paid advertising, you invest a dollar, and you track how many dollars you get back in new business. Many times when you market to your past clients, they may not respond to your offer, but they do remember you when they need you. Let me give you an example. I was talking to one of our coaching clients about this, and he said, "My client-based marketing isn't working." "Okay, tell me what you're doing," I said. He told me that he was sending postcards with an offer, but no one was calling. "No one?" I asked. "Nobody," he confirmed. "So you're telling me that you didn't have one single repeat client over the past 3 months?" "Well, of course I have," he said. "Then why would you say your client mailers aren't working?" I went on to explain that the way you measure the effectiveness of your client-based marketing system is by tracking the total repeat customer dollars compared to the same period last year. Your goal is for that number to keep growing. It's the difference between a savings account with interest and day trading stocks. A savings account grows over time and collects interest. Your total balance continues to grow. That's client-based marketing. Direct advertising is more like a day trade. It's more like a slot machine. You make an investment and get an immediate return or not on it. Client-based marketing is more like a drip than a one-shot deal. Sure, you can have strong offers, but be careful to protect the permission you have so you can build a long-term relationship for long-term results as well. When marketing to your client base, whether that's mailing, calling, and emailing, another hidden question to consider is this. How much are you losing by not staying in touch? This is a hidden cost factor that's often overlooked. Before even asking what the returns are going to be, consider what you're losing. You're losing valuable clients every single day by not at least staying in touch. For the sake of argument, let's say that you have 1,000 clients and it costs you $750 a month to send a mailer to them. That would be $9,000 a year. If you could add $80,000 in revenue, don't you think it'd be worth the investment of $9,000? Even if it only increased your business by $36,000, it'd be worth it. Plus, repeat clients are easier to service. They already know your prices, and you don't have to sell them. My experience has been that the long-term results will be even more significant than that. So let me give you 5 steps to double your business in the next 12 months or less without adding one single customer. Number 1, get a higher price. One of the reasons to constantly be in front of your past and existing clients, other than the fact that your competitor is marketing to them, is to reinforce your brand message that positions you at a higher price. Constantly remind them of the reasons to always use you and take advantage of the opportunity to build the unique experience around your company. Number 2 is called TOMA, Top of Mind Awareness. Just because you did a great job doesn't mean your customers will remember you. I had $6,000 worth of plumbing done in my commercial building when I bought it. I completely forgot about the plumber who had serviced my home on occasion. Why? Because he doesn't have a system to stay in touch with me. Do you? How many of your customers are gone because you don't have a system? Number 3, sell more products and services. You probably have a variety of products and services in addition to your main product or service that you can offer to your past clients. This can dramatically increase your income and profit margin. Number 4, increase the frequency of use. Getting your clients to purchase more often is another powerful thing that can add lots of dollars to your business. So educate them why they should buy from you more often in your client-based marketing processes. Number 5 is referrals. If your clients have trouble remembering your name, much less all the wonderful things that set you apart, what are the chances that they're going to be a good referral sources? No chance. A strong client-based marketing program can dramatically increase your referrals, especially if you have a referral reward program as well. All right, so now I want to share with you what I call the most phenomenal marketing tool of all time. I'm blessed that many of the country's top business trainers and marketers have recognized me as being a phenomenal marketer. So when I call something the most phenomenal marketing tool of all time, that's a big statement. This is a tool that I've been using for many years. It's a tool that any small business owner or professional can use, and it's also a way that anybody, including a small business owner, including you, can make money. Now, before I reveal what this amazing tool is, let's remind ourselves that all of business is about relationships, and building your network of relationships is the most important business skill you can have. Building those relationships and staying in touch with your past clients are the two most important marketing activities you can be implementing. Having said that, would you agree that one of the most meaningful tools you could use would be a heartfelt, personalized greeting card? This is probably one of the most valuable ways you can communicate to someone. Much better than email and way better than a promotional advertising piece. But here's the problem. To consistently write a personal greeting card to everyone in your network and everyone on your client base is nearly impossible. But what if there was a way to send meaningful greeting cards that not only touch the heart, but also position you as the consultant and remind your contacts to support you? What if the business cards that you collected at a networking group weren't rotting away in a desk drawer, but were actually put into a system that was creating powerful relationships that can add great value to your life and career? You can solve those problems with what I call the most phenomenal marketing tool of all time. What is that tool? It's called Send Out Cards. It's a greeting card company where you can choose from thousands of greeting cards and they will mail that card for you in a white envelope that looks handwritten. Why do I call this the most phenomenal marketing tool of all time? Here's why. Not only can you just jump on the website and send a card through the U.S. postal system, it's not an e-card, and not only does it look personal and handwritten like an invitation with a real stamp, and by the way, the reason that that's important is people always open personal greeting cards or invitations, always. You can even use your own handwriting and signature. You fill out a little form, send it to Send Out Cards, they load your handwriting and signatures onto the website, onto your account. Now, if your handwriting is as bad as mine, you might want to skip that option, but it gets even better. You can even create your own card quickly and easily and insert any picture that's on your computer. And remember, Send Out Cards sends that card through the mail in an envelope for a very low cost. Here's a few examples of how powerful this can be. Let's say you have a meeting with someone or you meet someone at a networking group. You take a picture with that person. Simply upload that picture and send him or her a card. Easy as that. I have a standard nice to meet you card template in Send Out Cards. When I meet someone, I just take that card, text it to my assistant. She sends a nice to meet you card. I also have software where I can just enter their contact information. It all happens automatically. I can just snap that business card right on my phone. Let me ask you this. Where can you get a full-color, custom marketing piece in an envelope that you can have designed and mailed today for less than a dollar plus postage in a quantity of one in less than 5 minutes? The answer is nowhere except for Send Out Cards. Maybe there's some other online things that you could use, but I'm going to share with you in just a minute why Send Out Cards is even better. When you collect business cards at a networking group, just have an assistant, a high school student or college student, or even one of your children, enter that business card into the program and launch your nice to meet you card template that you've already designed. Now, here's the interesting part and where it gets even better. Not only can you create a card with any picture on your computer, you can send that same card to a whole group of people in your database. Each card is personalized to each person. How cool is that? Here's a few examples. Let's say you have a small database of clients. Simply create a card and send it to the entire list. Your holiday and seasonal cards just became a breeze. Let's say you belong to a networking group that has 35 members. You take a picture at the meeting, send it out to the entire group. How cool is that? It gets even better. Phenomenal relationship marketing means remembering birthdays and anniversaries. Send Out Cards has an automatic reminder system for that. Gets even better. Along with that card, you can send chocolates, brownies, cookies, gift cards like American Express, Starbucks, Home Depot, books, CDs, and many other gifts. By the way, two of my books are in there. If you like this book, you can send the paperback copy of this book and my marketing book, Phenomenal Marketing Systems, right through Send Out Cards. But it gets even better. You can create automatic multi-card campaigns. Earlier in the book, I shared the importance of educating clients and staying in touch with them. A very important process is to teach new customers how to be great clients and how to refer you properly. So you have a series of cards that starts with a thank you card. Next is a card that focuses on your referral program. Next is a card that features one of your services, and so on. Once you activate the multi-card campaign for a contact, Send Out Cards will automatically remember to send that card on a certain interval that you put in. If you think about it long enough, you could activate a year-long Why I Like You card campaign. Reason number one. Reason number two. It's unlimited. And finally, the best part about it, if you're looking for another stream of income, you can make money by sharing Send Out Cards with other people. And of course, that's what I'm doing now. It will help you, but you need a code. You need a sponsor ID. So whoever gave you this book, ask them if they're in Send Out Cards. And if they are, use their sponsor ID. If they're not, then you can use mine. My code, by the way, my sponsor ID is 7162. So just go to sendoutcards.com/7162 and you can try Send Out Cards for free. The next concept I want to share with you is called the PLV of a client. In his book, The Facts of Business Life, my friend Bill McBain, who owns tons of companies, he's an entrepreneur that's a multimillionaire, amazing person. He's owned so many small businesses in the past and has interest in many, many small businesses, wrote a best-selling book called The Facts of Business Life, and he said that a business owner's first responsibility is to protect its assets, not just the assets on the balance sheet, but your database as well. He said that your client base is the first asset that you should protect. My good friend and marketing master David Fry says the money's in the list, not just the number of people on the list, but the quality of the list, the quality of the relationships you developed with the people on that list. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about the value of your list? Have you ever thought about the potential lifetime value of a single client? This exercise I'm about to give you will astound you. And from this moment on, you'll have a greater appreciation for your clients. Far too often, a customer's value is judged by a single transaction. They bought a low-priced product or they did a minimum job. But it's not about that. It's about the long-term value of that client and their referrals. Many years ago, when I was first starting out, I quoted a very low minimum charge over the phone for a project, assuming it was a minimum job. Upon arriving, I realized I had totally underpriced myself for that project. But instead of making excuses, I smiled and I went to work. After all, it wasn't my client's fault that I didn't have a good pricing system, right? It turns out that the client was the facilities manager for the largest branch banking system in Texas at the time, which became my biggest account the very next day. I made a lot of money from that bank for many, many years. Had I made excuses and judged her based on how much money she spent with me on that first project, I would have never gotten that big account. So I want you to do this. Here's an exercise I want you to do. Take a moment to jot down the average amount a single client invests with you each year, on average. Whatever your projects are, whatever service you have, and if people use you every 2 years, every 5 years, you may need to divide by two or divide by five. But get that figure. That's the average amount a single client invests with you each year. Now, multiply that by 20 years. Example, let's say a single client invests $2,000 a year with you. 20 years times $2,000 is $40,000. Now, multiply that number by the number of referrals you could potentially get over a 20-year period. Let's just say it's two per year. That's an additional $80,000 every year And if you take that over 20 years, you're talking about a lot of money. You can do the exercise yourself. Just take the amount a single client invests with you each year, multiply that by 20, multiply that by number of clients that could be referred each year. And the reason that you use the bigger figure is because you're planning on having those referrals for 20 years as well. Now, times that by 20, that should be an astronomical number. This is how you should look at the economic value of a client, while also remembering that they're human beings who should be treated well. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you planning on being around for another 20 years? I've been in business over 32 years at the time of this recording. Protect your assets. The most valuable asset is your client list. When you sell your business, the predictable income is probably going to be the biggest factor. And by the way, if you teach your team to value customers at this level, it will make a humongous difference in how they see them. The lifetime value, the potential lifetime value, is what's important here. And that lifetime value only occurs if you stay in touch with them and you follow the principles in this book. Now, the next thing I want to share with you is phenomenal direct advertising. Direct advertising is when you place an advertisement to reach your end user client. Phenomenal direct advertising is when you generate your perfect niche prospect, and a phenomenal direct advertising system duplicates results consistently. Although direct advertising can bring you phenomenal results in some industries if it's done right, this is not the place to wing it. And by the way, don't invest money in advertising until you've exhausted your client-based marketing and your referral marketing processes. Direct advertising usually isn't cheap, and I've seen too many business owners literally go broke paying for ads that never had a prayer of working. Some businesses do very well with advertising, but they're very smart with it. They understand it. So let me give you a few tips. First of all, what results do you want? Anytime you're using paid advertising, be sure to understand what the return on investment is that you're looking for. In other words, when you invest a dollar in advertising, how many dollars do you need to get in return? Many times you won't know this until testing the ad, which is the reason I do mostly relationship marketing. Direct advertising can be very costly. On the other hand, we've done paid advertising for my companies that have done very well and generated huge returns. Second question, who's your target audience? The next thing to think about when advertising is, who's your audience? At any given time, you may be placing advertising to reach a suspect. That's someone who fits the demographic of your perfect niche market, and you want to move them up to prospect. Maybe you advertise your free trial offer so they can raise their hand, so to speak. Then they become a prospect, someone who's already expressed interest but hasn't become a customer yet. Maybe they're already on your list, and so you need to send some advertising to get them to become a customer or client. And that's someone who's purchased before. Many times you'll be sending advertising to people who have used your services before. In this case, you want to generate repeat business, sell additional products or services, or you want to compel the customer or client to move to a higher level of membership or something of that nature. Each of these audiences require a different approach because your permission level is different. What they know about you is different, and what you want them to do is different. You may need to have a process of moving suspects to prospects before they become a customer, for example. A customer is different from a client. An advocate or a raving fan, as Ken Blanchard calls them in his book, Raving Fans, is someone who's moved beyond client status. You market to them differently. The third thing you want to think about is, what do you want them to do? When you're placing an ad or presenting a message to an audience, think about what action you want them to take as a result of the message. Start with the end in mind. Do you want them to call you? Do you want them to opt in for something? Are you speaking to a group? Do you want them to come up to you afterward? Do you want them to fill out a form? Do you want them to buy something? If so, what? This is called your call to action. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Number four, what message do you want to deliver? What message is required to get them to take the action you want them to take? Now, let's talk about how to create a phenomenal marketing message. There are plenty of books and resources on writing copy, so I'm not even going to try to teach you everything that you need to know. Plus, one book wouldn't do it anyway. The good news is that you don't have to be an expert copywriter to be successful in advertising your business. But understanding how to structure a message will help you in all areas of your marketing, whether it's addressing a group of referral sources, creating a brochure, or advertising. But it is vital to the success of any direct advertising that you do. So I want to share with you three vital components of creating phenomenal marketing copy. Number one is a phenomenal headline. Your headline is the main heading in any print ad or the first word spoken in an audio message. It has been said that the headline constitutes 80% of your ad's effectiveness. After all, if it doesn't even get noticed, what's it really worth? Here are some tips to create a dynamic headline. Number one, the headline should draw your audience in. The headline should get their attention so they'll be intrigued to pay attention. Some have called the headline the ad for the ad. I love that. Second, the headline should say as much as possible. In other words, the headline should give as much information about the following message as possible. Obviously, you're limited, but keep crafting that headline until it says the precise thing that you want your audience to know, if that's all you could tell them. Long headlines, subheads, and preheads are a good way to accomplish this. In other words, you can have something that comes before the headline, you have the headline, and then you have something that comes after the headline. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Number three, mention benefits. Remember, your audience is interested in what you can do for them. What's the benefit to them? In your headline, make sure that you talk about what the service or product does rather than what it is. Number four, get emotional. Use emotionally charged words rather than technical or feature-based words. In just a minute, I'll share with you what some people call the 13 most powerful words in marketing. Next, target your message only to your audience. The more you can pre-qualify your prospects in advertising, the fewer unqualified prospects you're going to generate. Make sure that your copy appeals to your target market and your target market only. You're also wanting to disqualify people in your advertising. And finally, don't use tired cliches. Don't use worn-out, meaningless phrases. Cliches don't work, and they don't really mean anything significant. So let's look at some headline examples that we've used in the past that our clients have used. And these are just examples. Avoid uneducated, uninformed, and sometimes downright unscrupulous plumbers. Avoid uneducated, uninformed, and sometimes downright unscrupulous air conditioning companies. Instead, get the most outstanding service experience ever. Avoid uneducated, uninformed, and sometimes downright unscrupulous landscaping companies. How to select a professional landscaping company. Don't choose a realtor until you read this important information, dot, dot, dot. 5 reasons you'll love our service. 5 reasons to call our company before calling any other company. 3 reasons, 5 reasons, 7 reasons, 10 reasons. 5 ways to, dot, dot, dot. How to protect yourself against, dot, dot, dot. Top 10 reasons to, dot, 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 right now. And I'll give you some power words here in just a minute. The second thing that you want after your phenomenal headline is phenomenal body copy. Your body copy is the core message that makes the case you want to make. Here are some principles for creating this part of your message. Engage the audience. Remember who you're speaking to, suspect, prospect, or customer client. Make your content relevant and specific to them. If you're in a live audience, get them to answer questions, raise their hand, stand up, or do something that engages them. In an ad, use personal, everyday conversation. Possibly the most powerful word you can use in advertising is you. And if you can merge in their actual name, that's even better. This is why you see marketers use your name in the subject line of an email. The second thing you want to do, again, is get emotional. Customers always buy on emotion. They justify with logic. Emotion motivates, not information. Their response is based on how they feel. Charge the copy with emotion, not just dry information. And you'll see that in some of the power words here in just a minute. Next, talk about benefits. Be sure to communicate in terms of what your product or service does for them, not just what it is. What are the benefits to them? The next thing you need to know is that a lot of content is okay. You may have learned or assumed that it's not good to put too much information in your ad. And that is true to a certain extent. As long as the information is focused on the single call to action, the more you tell, the more you sell. And by the way, it's just the opposite in sales, as you'll see in Phenomenal Sales Systems in just a minute. Those who are interested in what you're offering, they want more information. And you don't want to leave something out that might motivate them to act. Now, you can't tell them everything and every offer and every benefit. But the thing is that remember that you're not face-to-face with them and you don't have the opportunity to ask them questions. So you need to anticipate the things that they need to know to cause them to act. The next thing you want to think about is build the experience. Much of the copywriting you might do will be for newsletters, articles, and things of that nature. You have the opportunity to build on that UEP, that five-point marketing message, that five-point experiential proposition that we talked about earlier. The next point is I want to make sure that you use testimonials and endorsements. Real words from real clients and endorsements from highly influential people is some of the best copy you can use. I mentioned earlier that I work with the Zig Ziglar Corporation, which is the most trusted name in the training industry. I have a video with Dr. John C. Maxwell, the number one leadership expert in the world, that talks about me. The next thing that you'll want to do is use powerful words. The following 13 words are said to be the most powerful words in advertising, and it's easy to see why. The first one is discover. Of course, this word is experiential in nature itself. Second one is easy. Of course, everybody wants easy today, right? Third is guarantee. Nobody wants to be stuck with something that they're unhappy with. Fourth is health. Everyone wants to be healthy. Fifth is love. Now, there's an emotional word for you. The sixth is money. This is important to everyone. Seven is new. You'll see this one used by media often. Eight, proven. This word demonstrates that there aren't going to be any surprises and that you aren't going to be the guinea pig. Nine is results. This creates social proof, which is very important in marketing. 10, safety. What's the opposite of safe? Dangerous. 11 is save. Everyone's interested in saving time, money, and energy. And 12 is you. This is possibly the most powerful word in advertising, and it is, according to my good friend and marketing consultant, David Fry. And when you can use a person's actual name in your marketing with digital marketing, email, things like that, digital print, even better. And then 13 is free. People say that there's no free lunch, but when you do a free trial offer, Watch them line up for all that good free stuff. All right, and finally, in your marketing, you want to create a sense of urgency. To motivate your audience to action, you must create a sense of urgency. This might be using an expiration date for an offer, a limited supply, or simply the loss factor that occurs by not taking action. For example, if you want to start saving money now, get this product before the offer expires on... dot, dot, dot. In this simple example, the benefit is saving money, and depending on how much you can share, you want to go deeper with the benefits of saving money. The sense of urgency comes in when you realize that you're paying too much now. When? Now. And of course, you must act before the expiration date. There are many ways to create a sense of urgency, and I recommend that you understand how to do that in your message. Number three is a phenomenal call to action. Many sales messages and presentations fall short because there is no specific call to action. What do you want your prospect to do? Call a phone number? Fill out a form? Make a specific change in their lives? Make sure you tell them exactly what to do and how to do it. For example, go to this website right now and get your free CD. The next thing I want to share with you is about internet marketing. In the small business world, some small business owners aren't up to speed on what's happening online. At the same time, some of the younger business owners seem to think that everything should be digital. They dismiss anything offline as old school, slow, and ineffective. The truth is in the middle, as usual. And how you use the internet to market your business really depends on your business and your target market. But here are seven minimum steps to follow. Number one, have at least one website. Your main site is your branding site. In other words, this tells your story. Remember that a brand is nothing more than what people say about you when you're not around. Guess who manages that brand? You do. Your brand has to come through loud and clear on your site. The first thing people do today when they learn about you is they go to your site. Will they fall in love? Will they run? There's no telling how much damage is being done to small businesses today because of horrible websites. If a customer comes to your site and finds something old and tired, guess how they think about your business? You may not need the flashiest site around, but your image does need to be positive. Since you want to have fresh content, you may consider having a platform where you or someone else can post regular updates or have a social media plugin on your site. Number two, have an opt-in. A huge mistake I see most small business owners make is not having an opt-in on their website. An opt-in is a way for prospects to give you their email address so that you can communicate with them, offer something free that will benefit them, and you want to see the free trial offer, for examples. Don't ask for more than the first name and email address at first, by the way, because many who visit your site might not be ready to give you a lot of information yet. So just a contact page is not good enough. You're asking for too much information with a contact form without any return for them. Instead, have a compelling opt-in that offers a solution to your target market's biggest problem. Sign up for our free newsletter isn't compelling enough unless you tell them what the benefit of getting that newsletter is. On my main site, I offer free business building tips by email, free videos, and webinars. I ask only for the first name and email address. But once the person clicks submit, he or she is taken to a page that offers something more valuable. At the time of this writing, I offer a free CD that is mailed. The audio program reveals the 5 secrets of a phenomenal business. If your business isn't very phenomenal and you want it to be, then you'll order it. And of course, we do get many opt-ins for our free CD program. There are many things you can offer, but the key is to get something prominently posted on your site. To take that up a notch, have an autoresponder, and that's an automatic system that sends an email response to each opt-in immediately. You can customize this to say whatever you want it to say, and if you want to take it into the stratosphere, into what I call Planet Phenomenal, you can create a series of responses over time that brings them step-by-step to the sale or takes them through a learning path. By the way, this can be done for every product or service that you provide at every level. It can be as sophisticated as you want. I won't recommend specific programs here because by the time you listen to this, it could be outdated, but there is no shortage of programs to choose from. Now, this brings me to the next part of your phenomenal internet marketing system. Regular outgoing email newsletters. An email newsletter that adds value to your prospect and clients is a powerful tool. As you give them the solutions to their problems and offer solutions that your competitors aren't even talking about, you position yourself as the go-to person in your industry. Next, you want to have a strong social media presence. At this point, in most cases, it's not whether you should use social media or not, it's which platform to use and how to use them effectively. The way I see social media is it's like a worldwide networking group that's happening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Remember that all of business is about relationships. Using social media can help you build and deepen relationships. Ironically, when I wrote this book, this actual section, as a matter of fact, I was on the Sunshine Coast of Australia overlooking the ocean from my balcony, and I had my Facebook page open. I was communicating with people all around the world, and a business associate noticed that I was in Australia and contacted me for lunch. 3 hours later, we were having a business lunch to set up a business deal. Remember that networking and engaging people on social media doesn't mean you're just going after business deals. You're building relationships that may become business deals. Use the social media platform that your clients and referral sources are using. Instead of picking the one you like, find out where they are and plug in. Social media doesn't need to own your life either. Once you get familiar with posting, simply post 2 or 3 times a day, depending on your business and the platform. And by the way, since you're trying to build relationships, always respond to comments, acknowledge retweets, etc. The key is engagement. Don't overpromote. Remember, it's about building relationships. Number 5 is understand search engine optimization. Search engine optimization, or SEO, is optimizing your website so that search engines rank it as superior for keywords and terms. Most businesses want to be number one on Google, and most marketers and business consultants will tell you that that's where you want to be. Now, I'm going to be a little controversial here and say that it might not be the most important thing in the world, and it's not required to be successful in business. If you're putting all your effort into SEO and you're not marketing to your past clients, in most businesses, I would say that you have your priorities mixed up. Think and strategize before putting time and energy into SEO that you could be putting into building powerful referral sources. And by all means, do not respond to the spammers and telemarketers trying to sell you SEO services. Get a referral, and don't do it yourself if it's going to take you away from more important things. In fact, don't do it yourself. You don't have the expertise that you can buy very easily. Number 6, understand paid online advertising. When it comes to pay-per-click, banner ads, and things like that, follow the guidelines that I'm going to share in Phenomenal Direct Advertising and make sure that you understand what your plan is. Do not get in the world of paid advertising, online or offline, without studying and understanding it. That's kind of like showing up to a gunfight with a dull pocket knife. The final point that I want to make on phenomenal internet marketing is a simple one, and that is use a branded email address. When you're communicating with people, use an email address that has your branding domain in it. For example, howard@howardpartridge.com. Using Gmail, AOL, or Yahoo email to communicate with business associates devalues your brand. Having your website address present encourages people to visit your site. Also, have at least your contact information, your email signature, address, phone, website, etc., and maybe even an opt-in in your signature and a photo. Finally, I want to talk to you about something called phenomenal direct sales. There's the age-old idea of actually making a sales call. Part marketing and part sales, direct selling is when you market directly to a prospect in person. Do not discount this process. When you think of network marketing, also known as multi-level marketing, this is really direct selling. The fact that you're taking the time to speak to one person is not the issue. It's what can happen as a result of making that sales call. In the case of network marketing, for example, this person could build a huge team for you in the future. Perhaps it's a person who could become a monthly recurring client for you. My wife is in radio advertising sales, and outside of calling on ad agencies that she's assigned to, she actually has to call on someone. Imagine that. If landing a client is worth the time investment of calling on someone in person, by all means do it. But do it well, and please consider the options I've shared with you so far before investing too much time in this process unless you've already developed a phenomenal system for it. In other words, you could invest the same amount of time with a referral source who can send you as many end-user clients as you want, and it takes the same amount of time to call on a direct end-user client. Also, make sure that you've done your client-based marketing before investing too much time developing this process called direct sales. Many companies have direct salespeople, and they do very well with this. Others, not so good. I get sick thinking about all the time that is wasted by inept salespeople. People walk in our office every day selling insurance or business products of some kind. The entertainment begins as we watch them drive up. In fact, the other day, the first thing one of them did when he opened his car door in the parking lot was spit a big old hawker right on the parking lot. What a great first impression. He walks in the door and asks, "Is the owner in?" How lame is that? This pitiful scenario repeats itself over and over every day. These poor guys obviously haven't been trained. Most of them end up quitting. And if they are successful, it's completely by accident. I don't know about you, but I don't want my success to be by accident. Many small businesses don't realize that they're failing because of a flawed system. Any strategy that has a chance of working has to be implemented properly. If an account is worth calling on, they are worth investing in. So here's what you do. When you're making a direct sales call, you walk in with a secret weapon, which, as you know by now, is chocolates, donuts, candy, or whatever. If you're calling on a lot of people who may or may not be a prospect and you can't afford to invest $5 on a call, then use this inexpensive technique. Get some clear cellophane baggies with a ribbon from a package supplier. Put 4 or 5 pieces of regular candy inside and attach a business card. Walk in and give it to the receptionist, and say, "Hi, I'm Howard Partridge, and I bought you some chocolates." She'll blush, and you say, "What's your name?" She responds as she tries to gain her composure. "Well, Betty, our company is the most respected experience, whatever you do, in the area, and I just wanted to drop by and give you a free gift." That's going to be your free trial offer. "Who would I need to talk to about that?" How hard is that? That's an easy, simple script. The candy generates the permission you need to intrigue them with your free trial offer. That then gives you the permission to share your UEP, your unique experience proposition. And if they take the free trial offer, you get a presentation. If your presentation is any good and they're truly prospects, not suspects, you're now simply measuring time invested with closing rates. It's just a numbers game. To be effective in direct selling, you first have to give them a compelling reason to meet with you. The key is to focus on becoming an asset to them and build a relationship. When you get an appointment, offer them your presentation. That'll be shared in the next chapter on sales. If you don't get that appointment for a presentation, get the decision maker's contact information and put them on a follow-up system and send out cards and develop a follow-up program that will automatically stay in touch with them. Now that you have an idea of the kinds of systems and strategies that are required for a relationship-based marketing system that can create record sales and profits for your business, you need a focused plan. Remember GPS from earlier in the book? Well, you can apply GPS to your marketing as well. Your sales goal, your marketing plan, and your marketing systems. An easy way to think about your marketing plan is to use what I call the 7 M's of marketing. Now, when I originally wrote this book, there were only 5, but now there are 7. The first one is your marketing mindset. What is marketing? What is it that you're trying to do? Well, remember, marketing is everything that you do to attract prospects to your business. And when you can attract prospects that are pre-qualified, pre-sold, and ready to buy, that's the very best kind of marketing you can have. Number 2 is your phenomenal money. What is your sales goal, and how much are you going to invest in marketing? Number 3 is your mission. What is the experience that you're wanting to deliver? Number 4 is your target market. Who wants that experience that you want to provide? And number 5 is, what is the message that resonates with that market? Can you see how this progresses? First, we've got to understand marketing. You got to be a student of marketing. Secondly, you got to have a sales goal. And then third, you've got to understand what your mission is, what the experience is that you're trying to deliver, and who wants that. That's your market. And then what is the message? What's the message that resonates with them? Then and only then can you decide what methods you need to use. See, the challenge with small business owners is that they look at marketing strategies first instead of going through the steps of a proper marketing plan. They don't have a sales goal. They don't really know what their mission is. They don't have a good message. They just say, well, does social media work? Can I use postcards to grow my business? Yes. But what methods you use, because there's thousands of methods, are going to depend on the first things that we shared here, who you're going after, what the message is, why you're doing it, what your sales goals are, and all of those kinds of things. Now, the methods are the systems and strategies that you're going to implement to reach the goals. All right? And then finally, number 7 is your marketing map. That's your marketing action plan. What are you going to do every day? You're going to post on social media. What are you going to do every week? You're going to send an email newsletter. What are you going to do every month? You're going to send a mailer out to all your prospects and clients. All right? So let's talk about the 5 M's. I gave you 7, and when you engage with us, you can learn those 7. But since this book, which was written a few years ago, only have 5, I'm going to share those 5 with you. The first M comes after your marketing mindset, is your phenomenal money. The first thing I want you to have in your plan is a money goal. For now, we're going to focus only on the sales and profit goals. Sure, you could have some other objectives, such as how many clients and creating new products and those kinds of things, but this simple plan is about taking action. Not having a robust strategic marketing plan that you would take to a bank for funding. This is the bare bones guide to small businesses that you can easily remember and follow. So determine what your sales goal is for the next 12 months. If you have history, go back to see how much you did last year. Are you on a growth path? Are sales declining? What significant changes are taking place that could change those numbers? Once you have your annual sales goal, break it down by the month, by the week, and by the day. And by the hour, if you have to. My brother owns a McDonald's, and his profit is determined by how the staff cost is managed by the hour. If you don't have daily or hourly transactions, then break your sales goal down by the smallest measurable increment possible. If you do a few large projects every year, for example, then determine what your average project is and how many projects you're going to do this year. And if you sell products, how many products will be sold at what average price point? You'll also want to break your sales goals down by what we call profit centers or service categories. And even by how much you're going to do in repeat business, referral business, and direct sales and direct marketing or direct advertising. And you'll learn more about this in the Phenomenal Administration Systems later in this book. To get you to your sales goal, you're also going to need to know what your profit goal is, because it all starts with your net profit. Profit is what funds your life goal. Remember, the one and only reason your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. If the financial spoke on the wheel of life is suffering, then just about everything else in your life is going to suffer. And by the way, a business without a profit is just a hobby. I don't know about you, but being broke and in debt isn't any fun. To top it off, working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just to be broke and in debt is even worse. Hey, if you're going to go broke, you might as well stay home. At least you could enjoy yourself while you're going broke. The wonderful thing about being a business owner is that you can plan what you want your profit to be. Of course, that's Lord willing. None of us know what challenges life is going to bring us, but we would also be fools to build something without a plan. So we plan, we work the plan, the best that we possibly can. The amazing thing is that when you plan and you stay focused, many times it works. So determine what you want your profit to be, and then you'll have to determine what your cost of doing business is. We'll cover that in the Phenomenal Administration Systems. Also, determine how much you're willing to invest in marketing. This should be in your 12-month cash flow budget. Decide in advance what you're going to go and invest. This is going to keep you from becoming a victim of the advertising wolves in sheep's clothing. They have an irresistible offer that you're absolutely convinced will work, although it hasn't been proven. Meanwhile, you aren't doing the proven things that are outlined in this book. A marketing investment amount that includes exactly how much you'll invest in each system, strategy, and ad will keep you focused rather than reacting to circumstances or offers that are made. Far too often, marketing is done in purely an opportunistic manner rather than a focused plan. Another thing that I've learned from the countless surveys we've taken from small business owners that we coach is that there's not nearly enough invested in marketing. When you see that puny line item called marketing on an income statement, there's no wonder there isn't any business coming in. You have to plant a seed to get a crop, as the late Jim Rohn said. You can't say to a field, give me a crop and then I'll plant a seed. You can't say to a fireplace, give me heat and then I'll give you some wood. It's ridiculous. But yet, that's what I see in marketing every day. Decide in advance what you're going to invest in marketing. Commit to that investment. It doesn't have to be a lot, but don't make the investment based on whether you have extra money or not. Put it in your budget. Make the investment. I know that planning and budgeting doesn't sound like much fun, but it can make you wildly wealthy, which means that you can go have all kinds of fun. How much do you invest in marketing? Hey, whatever it's going to take to get the profit number you need. You may need to do some research on this, but once you line out the things that you're going to implement, figure out how much those items are going to cost. And to get this exactly right, you're going to have to go back and forth on your 12-month cash flow budget. The second, actually third, M is your phenomenal mission. In Chapter 2, I shared the importance of your mission. When it comes to marketing, you want to keep in mind what you're actually delivering. If you haven't determined what your mission is, then you should come to terms with that before planning your marketing. The reason is that it will determine who your target market is and what your target market message will look like. And keep in mind, if you aren't passionate about the mission you're on, you won't promote it well, and you won't lead others to carry it out either. The next M of marketing is your phenomenal market. Have you determined who your prime target niche market is? Everyone is not your customer. If you try to be everything to everyone, you won't be anything to anybody. Not anything significant anyway. You must understand who your target market is. The more you know about them, the more successful your marketing can be. Who can benefit from the mission that you're on? For example, my target market is small business owners who are doing over $100,000 in sales and less than $5 or $10 million, usually. Now, we have people that are outside of that, but that's the target market. They've been in business for more than 3 years. They feel like a slave to their business. They're ready for a solution and probably seeking that solution out. They're people who are interested in growing or getting unstuck, and they are teachable. Of course, there are many people that can benefit from my work. My inspirational teachings have impacted the youth of some of my clients, which thrills me. And some new businesses have enough foresight to realize that they need to build it right now instead of later. Network marketers who understand that they have a real business can also benefit. Large corporations can totally utilize our leadership, our marketing, our sales, and all the systems that we have can have a huge impact. But we don't intentionally market to those people because then our focus would be diluted. It's okay with me if people outside my core niche want to learn from me. So if you fit one of those categories, come on down. We can help you. My systems can help any type of business, practice, and I even work with nonprofit organizations. But when I market, I'm thinking about the small business owner who feels like a slave to their business. That's my niche market. So you want to start by going deep in a niche. You want to become a big fish in a small pond rather than a minnow in a huge ocean. When you're the bomb.com to that niche, so to speak, to use a little slang, you can have all the business you want, and you can literally have people standing in line to pay you the highest prices for what you do. I know, because I've done it more than once. Who's the niche market that desperately needs what you have? My good friend and small business consultant Ellen Rohr says this. Picture your favorite customer. You know, the one who pays your price and pays on time. The one you love working with. That's your perfect niche client. Do you have a picture in mind? What are their frustrations? What's the competition doing to frustrate them? I think about Southwest Airlines taking advantage of the ridiculous baggage fees that some airlines are charging. So Southwest Airlines starts advertising free check baggage. Southwest Airlines has been profitable and is an amazing brand because it's hassle-free. And if you could use one word for most other airlines, it would be hassle-full. What's your target market's lifestyle? Who do they associate with? Where do they live? How much money do they make? How old are they? How young are they? How long have they been in business if they're a business owner? Do they have multiple locations or a single location, retail or wholesale? Do you see how we could fill an entire book with just questions on how to get to know your niche market? One of the most important questions is how they buy, and this is vital when you get into the methods part in just a moment. The next M is your phenomenal message. Once you determine how much money your business needs to produce, what your mission is, and who your target market is, you now want to craft a message that resonates with them. I want you to go back to the 5-point UEP, the unique experience proposition, that I talked about earlier. This will become the core of your message. Remember, reputation, experience, education or training, systems, and guarantee. You should be able to expand on this message based on the situation of the method of marketing you're using. For example, if you're at a networking group that gives you 60 seconds, you can use the 5-point marketing message over a 60-second period and probably cover all 5 of those items. If you're writing an ad or you're doing a sales presentation, you'll need to expand on those 5 points. And by the way, it's also vital to understand how to write marketing copy. In a sales presentation, which we'll get to in just a minute, you're going to apply those 5 points to their unique situation because in that case, you have the opportunity to ask questions. The next M is your phenomenal marketing methods. What methods of marketing will you use to reach your phenomenal target market? You can have plenty of money to invest, a powerful, passionate, meaningful mission, clearly defined target market, and a compelling message that sells like crazy, but if your perfect prospect never sees it, what's it worth? What methods will best deliver the message they need? In order to determine this, we must ask ourselves a few questions. How does your prime target market buy services? Online? Offline? Through ads? Direct mail? Radio? Television? Newspaper? Trade magazines? Online forums? Or do they primarily buy through referrals? If so, who do they trust? Who has a relationship with them? I've seen too many small business owners who have a great product or service, but they struggle because they are simply using the wrong media. Understanding how your perfect target market buys is vital to choosing the right method to reach them. I hope this chapter has given you a lot of ideas on what methods to use. In most small businesses, the simplest, most effective way is to use my referral marketing systems of identifying your potential referral sources, bring them your phenomenal message about your phenomenal mission to them, and inspire them to talk about you to their clients, who is your perfect target market. Once they refer you, then you have a phenomenal client-based marketing system using something like send out cards that compels them to come back to you and refer to you. I've found that companies that learn how to use referral marketing and client-based marketing well can be very successful without direct advertising or direct sales, even though there is absolutely nothing wrong with that as long as it's effective. I had dinner with an SEO guy one time, and he was telling me about a client that he helped to get to number one on Google, but the guy is still struggling financially. He doesn't have enough business, and I could clearly see that in his industry, all he would have to do would begin developing a relationship with powerful referral sources and market to his past clients. He's not doing either. Big mistake. I cannot stress enough the importance of a phenomenal referral marketing system and a phenomenal client-based marketing system. Couple that with a phenomenal mission and a message, and you have got a winning combination.